Moncrief on News Talk.
It is time to solve every single problem you can conceivably think about. Amanda Brunker and Declan Buckley are here to do just that.
I presume the terms and conditions means that we can't enter.
That's correct.
Yeah. Thought that. I was thinking that when I've been in the car.
I'm a demon for not answering the phone.
Well, that's what happens then. You know, if you're a demon for not answering the phone, don't enter.
It takes me 5 rings to decide whether I'm going to answer, and then it takes me another 5.
But it'll probably come up in your phone going, probably scam. That's the new thing.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, probable scam.
No,
probable scam.
Just yesterday, I got a phone call from an 087 number that told me I've some sort of international arrest warrant out for me for, you know, all sorts of. Some American man apparently told me this.
Diggs Lane in Dublin. Currently sighted.
That's where I'm hiding. Anyway, here's your first question. I am engaged. We're currently in the process of planning a big wedding for summer 2027. Every single spare penny we have is going to the wedding fund, and we need the time to save for it. We're both from big families and want everyone there to celebrate. We have always both agreed on what we want for the wedding. It will end up costing us a lot of money, but hopefully we will get that back in presents. Now, my fiance wants to dip into our savings and get a hair transplant before the wedding. He's balding quite a bit, but I love him and I don't see why he wants it. He says it'll help his confidence and he doesn't want to be seeing a bald head in the wedding photos. I understand this, but we really can't afford to siphon thousands of euro towards this. How do I tell him this?
Go on.
I mean, like, you know, some of the language here is that siphon is gas. I love that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. To his offshore account. Really, yeah. Like,
yes. You are siphoning off your money. Look, there's a lot in this that I don't relate to because I just think it's a bit nuts. But look, the thing about
the getting married.
Being bald.
Yeah. No, I'm growing more accustomed to that. But if people are getting married and they have an idea of how it's going to be financed and what they're going to buy and it's agreed between the two parties, then that's the agreement. Whereas if you're deciding that you think that the agreement is that this, that, the other, and then somebody else is saying, well, their perspective is different, you don't have an agreement. That's a difference of opinion.
Well, as somebody who's in the middle of a glow up, right. So I'm currently on Ozempic and I've lost 2 stone. I've got another 1.5 stone to go. And I bought myself some new lips there last week.
You look amazing.
Thank you so much. Loving them. Yeah. And at 51, I'm just kind of like going, listen, time to treat myself and look after myself a bit.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What's the point in the marriage? Like, I mean, if you're getting married, surely you want your husband to be happy and happy on the day and happy in his photographs. You're marrying him. You're not marrying the whole family. You already have the whole family. And the thing is, like, you're talking about siphoning it off. Like, really? He can go to Turkey and do it for about 1,600 or something. He could probably get it even cheaper.
Actually, it's more than that. It's about 4 grand in Turkey. I'm Googling it now.
I Googled it already.
Oh, right.
And also, you can finance it. So you don't have to siphon a whole big batch of money off money. You can do like
stage payments.
You can do
in
like
Turkish
a,
lira
per hair.
No, but if you do it here, you can do it like, you know, like you would like a car or whatever.
Yeah,
you can.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be a huge big chunk. And the thing is, I'm saying to the husband, go for it now. Do it now. The wedding isn't until 2027. The plugs will be all nice and set then. You'll look fantastic. And sometimes things just, you know, you make a plan and then you work out doing something else anyway. The main thing is you're going to get married. You want your husband to be happy. And if you have to bump off a couple of cousins from the big wedding, so be it. Not the end of the world.
Well, how much money would our correspondent be spending on a dress?
Well, see, this is the thing. I want to know exactly what way the wedding is being, this big wedding that she wants, does that include all of the stuff that she gets out of the wedding to make her look and feel fantastic on the day? What's that budget and how does that compare?
Is there a makeup artist?
Yeah,
is there a hairdresser?
I know there is. And, you know, unless
the bridesmaids,
unless their shared contribution to the wedding is only paying for hospitality for the guests that they've shared and she's funding her own blah, blah, blah out of her own pocket. I think they have a conflict of interest there.
Yeah.
And I think he's, as you've said exactly that, there's a certain amount of judgment about it, I think, from her letter where she's saying, I love him the way he is. And sure, that's grand. And yet, at the same time, I want my hair done on the big day. And
he needs to feel good as well. Let him have the hair.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite get how, it's how he feels about himself, not exactly. what she feels about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what that's, again, what that says is it's all about her. It's yeah. about how she feels about it. It's about what she wants on her big day. It's about what he, you know, what he thinks about what she looks like on the big day, what everybody else feels about her. And he's going to go in that room feeling like, you know, not 100% because he's thinking about it. And whether they're not even having the conversations about how he feels, that also is a bit.
But I think it's really nice that men are starting to look after themselves a bit better. So, like, I mean, encourage it. I'm all for it.
Yeah, she says he's balding. Now, does... I don't know, are you supposed to wait until all the hair's gone before you replace
Definitely
it?
Definitely not.
Because they might put it in and then a bit of the back falls out.
Exactly. Now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Plan it now. Get it sorted so your hair will be fantastic come 2027.
Okay. And then, so will it all be, but like if there's bits, if it's thinning, does it get weaved into the new bits or how does that work?
So basically, as far as I know, I've never had this done myself, but they take it from the back and then they plug it around the front. So generally speaking, you know, bits at the back can be still balding, but you'll have it at the front so you won't look bald, if that makes sense.
Okay, I know what you mean. Yeah, unless somebody's looking down on you.
Exactly, but it depends on how much you need.
I think, it's like, you know, for a lot of people, their self-image is basically on what they see in a mirror. So it's you know, you can't see the back of your head.
You don't worry about the back.
You're not worried about the back so much. There's often like scars where...
I can remember going into a shop once... And they had a monitor behind the thing, and I could see the back of my head and said, it's all over. I've been just fooling myself here for quite some time.
It's completely different times now. I mean, you said about how men are now, you know, whether you want to see that as being suckered into the beauty industry and, you know, all of the things, or whether you see it as it's maintenance and self-care and all that.
It's nice.
I mean, there is a balance, and there is a road where you can go too much down whatever. But for everybody, I think that's personal choice. I think in this instance, it all reads down to the fact that your man's personal choice has been removed by his wife, who thinks that there's no line in the budget for that.
Soon to be wife. Yeah. She better be careful. The wedding might not happen if she contests it for too long.
He could get a personal loan, says one texter.
His own money.
No. embrace the baldness, says another person. I got my hair done in Turkey for 3,600 in 2023. I'm delighted with it.
Yeah.
Go for it if you have the funds. It's nobody else's business.
And it makes people feel really good. And that's that's the whole point of what you're saying. And, you know,
be happy.
This kind of, there tends to be often a kind of an undertone with people kind of sneering at people when they, you know, making these adjustments to themselves. And you go, well, no, that's, you know,
life
that kind
is,
of thing.
Yeah,
they're really like, ah, look at your man thinking he's, you know, all
life
that.
Life is short. Yeah. Do what makes
with
you happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm in my early 70s. And having stepped back from a hugely busy job a number of years ago, I've come to regret that I didn't forge better relationships with my children. I work 7 days a week and provided a comfortable lifestyle for our family. But now that they are adults and I get to spend time with my grandchildren, I see all the moments I missed. My two daughters call my wife all the time and they're the best of friends. My son lives around abroad and we were never that close either. I often feel completely left out of conversations around the dinner table when the whole family get together. None of them ever text me. Everything goes through their mother. I travelled a lot and prioritised work, but now I regret that. I'm trying to do my best with my young grandchildren now to be a fun and present granddad, but I feel so sad for what I didn't do as a father. I know I'm lucky, but I'm plagued by these feelings and I don't know whether to talk to my children or my wife about this.
This is actually quite
sad. That's really sad.
I was speaking to my husband about this last night because he's a workaholic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it can be very lonely being married to somebody whose first priority is their business. Mm. So I knew from very early doors that my husband's company was his first love. And then... Yeah. You know, I kind of come further down the list. And like sometimes you just kind of go, am I last on the list? Like, am I actually the last thing on your list? And you go, sometimes. But he was there saying, like, it is a generational thing. And, you know, working, and the women looked after the kids. And I was there saying, well, what should he do? And he said, well, listen, the best thing he can do is just, it's never too late to try and forge a relationship with your children or with anybody really. And he said, just talk to them. He said, plan, try and figure out what you can do, you know, maybe go away without your wife, without the daughter or without the wife and without the grandkids and just try and do things together and make time. And listen, it's a good thing that they're always calling the mother, because it's like, and he doesn't want to be annoyed with, sorry, mum, do you know where, can you pick up little Timmy from school? Yeah. Can you this, that and the other? There's an awful lot of stuff that you don't want to get called about anyway, but it's never too late. Like at 70, you're still really young. You've got plenty of living left to do, and just try and forge those relationships.
Yeah.
Just make an effort. Just tell them.
I think there's also in that, and I agree with everything you said. I think that sometimes when people, particularly when they retire, and I haven't retired myself, so I'm not really talking about that from a perspective of knowing anything. What's new? But I kind of feel that, you know, somebody who's retired and then loses that particular part of themselves, which is their first love or they're running their business or being, you know, the man, the important person or the breadwinner or whatever it is that
identity
is gone. And then suddenly you're left going, well, I know that's gone because it's the past and it has to be gone for a whole swathe of reasons. But now I'm looking at the people around me immediately and I'm seeing, you know, my lovely wife here whose identity is still living in the role that she had, which is with her children and the grandchildren.
Yeah.
And it's all this kind of tight family stuff. So you kind of, you know, there's an element, I suppose, of kind of envy going on there that needs to be just nipped in the bud a little bit, because you made your choices and you had your role. And I think you should be proud of the role that you played, because, you know, that does, particularly in an older version of the way we organise families, was the way things were done, and there's no point in kind of whinging over the past in that way.
But you can't be resentful. Like, there was that line going, you know, I worked really hard to provide the family provide this life for my family. It's like, going, well, hang on a second.
Yeah, no, you didn't
know. You
can't
make them
yourself
feel bad
for
their role in the whole family dynamic.
Yeah, exactly.
So just talk to them and just kind of go, make an effort to do
it. It is a thing about, you know, about, it's like being on holiday and spending the first week on the beach and then whinging about the fact that you haven't been to see the cultural sites when you still have a week left of your holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, you know, there's plenty of time. Just go and, you know, focus on that. And also, relationships and families change a lot over time. We were talking before we came on, Amanda, about, you know, our roles within our families and with our parents and all that kind of stuff, and how that changes from, you know, month to month, week to week, year to year. It's always changing. And you kind of have to go with the flow and, you know, and do what works for you, because, you know, that's otherwise you end up.
But it's also great to be a granddad.
Yeah.
Because that's, that seems, apparently it's supposed to be really fun. And I know plenty of granddads now who are just loving it. He said, look, sod the kids. They're miserable old sods.
You can hang grandkids back.
Yeah,
That's a great. I think, though, he, in fairness to him, he seems to have a lot of insight into what he did. In that he's kind of at least admitting. Yeah, that I think he should talk to his wife first, because he doesn't even know his children. He doesn't even know how to talk to them or how they might react when he. Now, he should say it to them, but I think his wife should be the first stop, and she could give him a steer.
100%.
If you say to Mary, Mary will just freak out and run out the door, kind of thing, you know.
The point.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then. But I do think that it is a natural thing to kind of reevaluate your relationships or kind of evaluate them at that stage of his life. I do think that he should do something rather than sitting there just thinking about his feelings. And
talk to the missus and go, how's the best way I can forge, you know, a relationship here?
Because he sounds like a guy who's never spoken about his feelings before, and then suddenly daddy has feelings. You know, nobody knows what to do with that.
Well, that's just weird.
That's just weird.
That's really
now
weird.
You're making us all uncomfortable. Go back to being silent and distant. I went through cancer treatment last year. Thankfully, after surgery as well as chemo and radiation, I've come through with it, and I'm beginning to be able to plan for the future. The treatment meant I was out of work for the guts of 6 months, and my wife and kids were absolute lifesavers doing everything for me. Now that I'm feeling a bit better, I'm finding it hard to connect with my old friends. We would have always played golf or gone to the pub together, but now their conversations just bore me. I've come through such a hard time. I don't want to listen to people complaining about their job or getting annoyed over match results. I don't want to lecture anyone, but life is really too short to be bothered by the little things, and I feel like I can't identify with my old friends like I used to. I wonder, is there something I should say to them?
Do you want to go first? Because I know I'm going to disagree with you.
Oh,
I'm
really?
Going to say something different.
Oh, no, okay. Well, I don't know what I'm going to say, so I'm going to make something up. Look, I feel that this person is taking themselves too seriously, that right now they're in a situation where they've been through something really, really life-changing, and it's completely normal to kind of be terrified, to be emotionally struck, and then centre yourself in the whole of the universe going, this has gone through with me, and why can't you see what I've been through? It's like a come to Jesus moment. They're kind of had this big epiphany and they think that everybody else in the world should be experiencing.
It's like reformed smokers.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
yes, that.
Park it there now. Park it there.
Because a lot of people forget that a lot of the way in which we relate to each other and we talk to each other socially is frivolous and superficial for a reason. It's because everybody has their own troubles, has their own, you know, the whole way when you were gassing on about, you know, the score of the match and whatever, Johnny, who you were talking to, was worried about paying his bills and whatever. People act on multiple levels all the time. And, you know, you've just been through something very horrific and very personal. Your friends probably empathise with you, but they probably also simultaneously felt that they needed to keep a light to help you through.
Exactly. And need to just, you know, take your mind off.
Is that what you were going to say, man?
No, well,
okay, disagree with
what
me,
I was
going to
say was, I don't, you might think that you're well, but you might not be fully well yet. To right. say all your friends are boring you, I'm like, oh, you're not in the right headspace.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's very hard to make new friends as you get older.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think you would be mad to alienate all of your friends because they're giving out about match scores.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Take a time. Like if you were to look, listen to all the astrologists on TikTok at the moment, you know, there's a Mercury retrograde happening or something like that. And this is not a time for conflict for anybody, apparently. I don't really understand it myself.
Okay. That's scientifically sound advice there.
So apparently there's a full moon in Capricorn tonight.
Okay. Yeah.
And basically we shouldn't actually be out in public at all. We should just be at home as hermits so we don't get into trouble with anybody.
No.
Do not have any conflict this week.
Don't say anything serious. Don't say anybody.
But I just think, just bear with your friends and maybe don't tell any of them that they're annoying you. Because you know what? I just think you're probably still quite wounded.
Fragile.
And fragile in your own head. And there's a lot going on. And listen, one thing I want to say is congratulations.
Yes.
For have coming through your treatment. Yeah. That's amazing.
But you still have residual like trauma or whatever
you
it is.
Will
absolutely.
Have
still
and
not
that's
over.
Kind of, and that's really
that's
good point.
The point.
I think that person is still dealing with whatever they're going through. And while
which is
the
a lot.
Medicalized,
huge.
But, yeah.
Huge. You're going to be, your mind is going to be melted from all of that. So just don't do anything rash. Don't be telling people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
everybody's own little problems, it's all relative. Like, you know, everybody has issues. So they mightn't be as big as yours, but it's their problems.
And sometimes it helps to go like, this conversation they're having is really annoying. Just in your head to go, what would I prefer they were talking about?
And steer the conversation.
because it is.
No, but if it's, because the thing about having cancer is such a traumatic, it's hard not to talk about cancer constantly.
Yeah,
when you
yeah.
have it, when you're going through it, it's hard not to talk about it constantly. And then when, you know, you've come through it and then you still kind of want to talk about it constantly. And that's part of the thing.
It can be all consuming. And we've got a very good friend who's just come through treatment and got the all clear. And I got the news there about 2 weeks ago and just cried my eyes out. Oh my God, this is so amazing. So, like, I mean, I think everybody, there's nobody in this country who can't relate to somebody who's been through cancer and treatment and all the rest. And people, I think everybody is very empathetic to people who've had treatment and are going through this. But I just think just remember you've been through trauma and it will, it has
it
bound to affect
me
you.
Of that, you know, it's that that poem about, you know, stop the clocks when somebody dies and about, you know, how you feel. You know, when something big happens to you, you want everybody in the whole world to reflect what's going on with you. But unfortunately, it doesn't. And the world moves on. The world keeps moving. And actually, that's kind of what helped you to continue on because, you know, it helps you realize that, well, if I don't keep going, the world's going to move on without me. And then I'm in a worse off position. So in a way, your friends being light or talking nonsense about whatever it is, you know,
try and go with it.
Or just. Have your dark thoughts in your head and hate them in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, but like.
And weirdly enough, what this reminds me of is that often we get questions on parenting.
Yeah.
Little Johnny won't eat his broccoli. And it's a huge thing. And then little Johnny freezes up and starts crying. And I'm going to him, oh my God, try paying a mortgage.
Yeah.
Well, you're not seven. To little Johnny, this is the most important thing. Now, it's not a direct, it's an analogy, if you like. But that's the most important thing in his life because there isn't that much else. So he does find that traumatic and upsetting. But as but adults will go, well, there's so much other things that have happened to me, so you shouldn't be upset about this, but you're not seven. They don't know that stuff.
But this man should also be really happy that he had the shoulder of his wife and his children.
Absolutely.
And they helped carry him through. So try and focus instead on the negatives, which is very easy to do sometimes. And you're giving out about the negatives that your friends are focusing on. But just try and focus on the positives. You're after coming through this. You're still trucking. You know, you've got great support from your family. And just maybe if you don't want to spend too much time with your friends just yet, that's fine. But just don't alienate yourself. Just softly back out into the world.
Yeah. And when somebody says, I found the year after I finished my treatment the hardest because I was suddenly allowed to live. And it felt like everyone else had moved on and forgotten what I'd gone through.
Yeah.
I would advise counselling during and after cancer. It's so difficult to readjust to a life that has been shaken, says somebody else. I recently met a woman on Tinder. We went on two dates and then started sleeping with each other. I found out on the second date that she was widowed just 6 months ago. She has no kids. I can't get enough of her. Last week we met four times. I'm looking for a decent relationship and I'm concerned she is just in this for the sex. Our last date, we didn't even get to a meal. She's gorgeous and I'm not against the sex, but I really hope there is more to it than that. I got her a little gift a fortnight ago and she started crying almost immediately. I felt like I'd overstepped some obscure line or another. Don't get me wrong, we've great chats and she started to be more open with me, but I worry that her heart isn't in it. And I will end up getting heartbroken. I'm agonising over it at this stage, but I don't want to let her go at the end of the day. Any advice, please?
Oh, get over yourself.
Yeah, will you? Yeah.
Great sex, gorgeous looking woman, great chats.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Really, oh my God, you poor man.
Yeah, counselling that man.
I mean, talk about somebody who's kind of like coming, bringing their own idea, they're just prescribing it. She's become the widow in his head. Maybe she's trying not to be the widow in her own life. So, you know, yeah, it's ridiculous. His perspective is
it's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I would just worry that there's possibly as a woman, there's kind of a red flag there that he's becoming obsessed and, you know, it's all a bit intense. Like, they're only going out a short while.
6 months, yeah.
But, like, ease up, you know, when you're older.
No, but he's really into her and
she's obviously into him as well.
Well, I think maybe his worry is that she's just... It's not a rebound. I don't know what you call it after you're widowed, but she's getting something out of her system and he's never going to be able to compete with what her motivation is.
But he's there to enjoy it all.
So. Oh, no, absolutely. But
I think that's the problem. That's kind of what I meant, is that he's bringing her identity in that way into the scenario that she's going to bring that in her own choices and her own decisions. She's going to move at the pace that she's able to move because she's the one who had the experience, not him.
But if it was a rebound thing, she would have already got rid of him and moved on. Like 6 months sounds like a decent enough time.
Well, he's putting in the work, obviously. And he got her a present.
Pretty little present. Brought it to her eye.
Oh, my God. He got her a present. What do you want, a medal?
Oh, yeah.
You're already getting the shag. Like, come on. Like, you're doing well. Be happy. Again, don't overthink it. Just roll with it. Go with it. It's obviously going well. You could totally destroy this relationship by overthinking it.
Yeah.
Mm. And he could just, like, totally... Like, to me, that's a red flag. I'd be like going, okay, you sound this is a bit too intense. I thought all was going well. I thought we were having fun. I thought we were enjoying each other's company. I thought we were building a relationship. And if he starts putting all these kind of stipulations and breaks and that to me, I'd be like going, I'm getting out of here.
Now, one thing I will say is that if she is, she's starting to open up to him is what she's saying that, like, you know, so presumably that means that she's talking about, you know, what she's been through and how she feels and all that kind of stuff, which she sounds quite smart to me, because what she's doing is she's like, she's obviously dealing with her own stuff. but she's not immediately bringing that stuff into this relationship.
How awful. Nobody wants somebody to offload all their trauma in the first couple of months. You know what I mean?
You're
not
going to. She's being quite smart.
Spread out the crazy.
She's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, don't show them.
Pace yourself on the crazy. To me, she sounds totally sane and he sounds.
And he
crazy.
Sounds like he's trying to, you know, overthink everything, and he's seeing all the problems that haven't arisen before they've arisen. And yeah, I think she's probably moving at a pace that is perfect for her, and he just needs to enjoy it right now, because the pace that's going to be the pace for their relationship is the pace that works for both.
He just needs to lighten up and buy more gifts.
Yeah.
Could it be an insecurity on his part, in the sense that, to put it in its crudest terms, he's a 5 and suddenly this 10 can't get enough of him, and he's going, there must be some reason why she's doing this.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so.
Because she's a widow.
Because she's a widow and it doesn't really matter he's a 5 until she gets over being a widow, and then she goes, sorry, you're a 5.
Yeah, you're all right.
What did you expect?
You're a 5, yeah.
You can have your present back.
Yeah.
I don't really like
it. It wasn't that great anyway.
Yeah.
I wasn't crying. I was just trying to see what it was.
And just going back to the man who's now retired, he doesn't have a great relationship with his kids. Someone says, I suggest that man writes to his children, telling them how the choices he made, though valuable, have led to him feeling a distance from them. I'm speaking from experience, where a poor relationship with one of my children has hugely improved. Not immediately, but slowly. And it's lasting. So I think maybe...
Oh, that's lovely.
That's lovely.
Yeah, that's
good bit
really
of advice
nice.
There.
Yeah.
Amanda and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.